Every time I preach, and it's a real honour to preach. It's a real blessing and a joy and a privilege. And each time I preach, I try and remind myself of the last verse in Psalm 19. This is like the preacher's verse, that before we preach, we should really be mindful of this. And it says this: "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." I was just really enjoying meditating on that this morning, just all the aspects of it. And just, Lord, I'm just going to pray now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord. You are my rock and redeemer. Thank you, Lord, you are the rock that we build our lives on. Thank you, you are our redeemer, our saviour, the one who came to set us free. We've been bought for a price. We thank you for your grace, your love, your mercy poured out for us. Spirit of God, fill this place as we look at the word, at your word together, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So today is one of our sign-up Sundays. Now, what that means is, just to give a quick explanation for that, is twice a year we encourage people to consider what small group they're part of and to sign up, to recommit, to go again in the small group that you're part of. So this is one of the Sundays. We do it in September and we do it in February. And so it's really good for me today to talk a little bit about small groups. So it's great for us to gather together on a Sunday. We love our Sunday gatherings. We love to sing songs of worship that are full of biblical truth. We love to hear preaching. We love to get together, have a coffee, and just be together in the presence of God. It's a great thing. Sundays is a great thing. And so you might be thinking, well, I give up a Sunday morning already. Isn't that enough? What more does this guy want from me? Well, what I want to encourage you with is I want to encourage you on the benefit of being part of a small group community and just how precious that is. And I really do believe that with all my heart. It's very precious to be part of a small group community. There's so much to it. I want to talk a little bit towards the end of this about what small groups are available. But before we talk about which groups, I really want us to explore what's the point of going to a small group? Why bother? Why bother giving up time in your week? Many of us are very busy. Why bother giving up time? Is Sunday morning not enough? Do I not give up enough time for church already? So what I would love us to do is to attempt to answer the question of what's the point of small groups, is we're going to look at some scripture together. If you have your Bibles, if you could open them up to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to be reading from the NIV this morning. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 2. We're going to go verses 42 to 47. So just to give some context to this, this is immediately after the day of Pentecost. So tracking it all the way back, we've had Jesus doing his incredible things that we read about through all the Gospels that led up to his death and his resurrection. Then after his resurrection, he was around with the disciples for 40 days. And he spoke with the disciples for 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. That's what he did with them for 40 days. And then at the end of that 40 days, he said, right, guys, I'm going now, and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is poured out at Pentecost. There's tongues of fire, people speaking in tongues. They're rolling out into the streets. Everyone thinks they're drunk. Peter delivers this amazing sermon where many people then come to faith. So this is the birth of the early church. This is where we've got to. And what I want us to look at and consider this morning is, what did they do right at the birth of the early church? This is our origins story, guys. If you're into superhero movies and things, they all have an origins story. This is our origins story. This is the birth of the early church. What did they do? Pick it up, Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's a great passage, isn't it? The birth of the church. The Spirit lit the flame and the church of Christ was born. And what I just want to pick up a few things out of that, just to quickly hit verse 42. So what did they do? Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with sincere hearts. So the Holy Spirit's been poured out. The church has been born. And what they do is they gather every day in two settings, in the temple courts and in their homes. So this seems like quite a good model, that we have a bigger gathering, much like we would have on a Sunday, gathering together. This is our equivalent of the temple courts. And what's our equivalent of meeting together in our homes? Meeting together in our homes. It's deep stuff, this is. We really have to deep this and go, what should we do about this? Let's meet together as a bigger group, and let's meet together in our homes. And we see that there's that intimate setting of meeting in our homes. And what they were saying about breaking bread together and eating together. It's very relational, isn't it? It's very, very deeply relational. So that's what they did. And this seems like a very good example for us to follow, doesn't it? I think it seems like a great example to follow. Let's gather together as a bigger group and let's meet together in our homes. What was the purpose of that? And we're just going to hit verse 42 again because it's so rich. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Four things that they devoted themselves to. So I just want to give a little bit of time to explore those things, just a little bit. Firstly, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Again, how does that look for us? Already mentioned, it's good for us to gather on a Sunday. We love to open the Bible, we like to preach from the Bible and say, look, try and understand, okay, what is the Bible saying and what are we going to do about it? They're questions that we love to ask in this church. When we're looking at the Bible together, I'd always encourage you as you do that, open the Bible, try and understand what's the story, what's happening here, what's the actual story, okay, when we read accounts of Jesus, so he went from one place to another place, he spoke to this person, kingdom of God broke out and there was healing and deliverance, etc., etc. So we understand what's happening, but then we also go, but what does it mean for us? What do we need to do about this? How are we challenged to change and alter our lifestyle depending on what we've read in the Bible? So Sunday teaching and preaching is a really important part of that. We obviously encourage everybody, read your Bibles for yourselves. It's a great thing to do. Feed yourselves on the Word of God. Ask those same questions. Understand, okay, what's happening here and do I need to do anything about it? Great questions to ask. But our small groups are brilliant places for us to explore teaching together. It's a great place for us to get together with other Christians, to open up our Bibles, to read the scripture out, and to say, okay, so what do we think this means? Understand what's going on, and how does it apply to our lives today? How can we authentically take this teaching and apply it to our lives? Small group is a great place to do that, guys. It is brilliant. Hopefully, you get a lot from Sunday preaching and teaching. Hopefully, you do. But I would suggest maybe you get more from the discussion time in a small group. Every week, we produce small group notes. They go out, and some of the small groups will go through the notes from the sermon. So read the scripture together, ask the application questions together, and really kind of build up that relationship together. It's a good thing to do when it comes to teaching and applying things to ourselves. I was having a conversation with someone yesterday, really encouraging conversation, and she was just talking about how she's helping some different people out with some different stuff. And one of the things she said to me was, I don't feel I know enough. Don't feel I know enough. And I said to her, well, do you know that you're being kind? Yes, I know I'm being kind. Great, keep being kind. You know enough to do the stuff. And so I want to encourage us, we don't have to be all of us biblical theologians to do the stuff. You know enough to do the stuff. You know enough to be kind. You know enough to be gentle. You know enough to bring good things where you're going, inspired by the Holy Spirit and based on what we've read. You don't have to get to a place of going, I understand everything before I'm going to do anything about it. Nudge the person next to you and say, you know enough to do the stuff. We can all be kind to each other. That's clear teaching from the Bible. I'll just give you some clear teaching from the Bible. We're supposed to be kind to each other. You can take that and apply it this week. It's not a head scratcher. Go be kind to people. So that small groups is a great place for us to do that, to explore the scriptures together and apply it to our lives. The next thing it says, they were devoted in fellowship. And this is a really good one, isn't it? Because what does that mean? We, as Christians, we can talk about fellowship a lot. It's a bit of that, one of those Christianese words. What do we mean when we say fellowship? So they were devoted to fellowship. I was kind of having a ponder and a look around on this one, and I found a really good a description that I like, I'm going to share with you, and we'll work our way through. It says this: Christian fellowship is the mutual bond that believers share in their relationship with Jesus and with each other. Just going to pause there, because I think that's quite dense already, isn't it? Our relationship. So if we're interested in having deep relationship with each other, that is built on our bond, our relationship with Jesus. So if you know Jesus, and I know Jesus, we already have a connection. We already have a strong bond that we can build a deep relationship on. That's a really cool thing, isn't it? So that's the corner, that's the foundation of fellowship, is our relationship with Jesus. I have a relationship with Jesus. You have a relationship with Jesus. That's the basis of us being able to have a deep connection and relationship with each other. The description goes on to talk about the Greek word, which I will not pronounce well, for fellowship, koinonia, denoting partnership, participation, and sharing. So again, we have this relationship based on Jesus. And that relationship has purpose, that we are going to be in partnership, we're going to do things together, participation and sharing together. This is a dynamic, interactive, this is not a passive relationship that we then form with each other. Fellowship is very deep. And this word koinonia is indeed what the word in the original Greek is in Acts 2:42. And it goes on to say it involves far more than casual social interaction. This is not a social club. Just want to let you know that this is not a social club. Fellowship is much deeper than that. It's not about casual social interaction. It encompasses deep spiritual unity, active cooperation in worship and service, and joint commitment to living out the truths of Scripture. I really like that description of fellowship. And I just, you could ponder over that for hours, couldn't you? About, we're not going to, don't worry. But you could ponder over that description of fellowship for hours and go, well, what does that, how does that look in my life? Do I want that? How do I invest in that if I do want that? And one of the things the early church devoted themselves to was fellowship. It was this koinonia. And it's very difficult to have koinonia in isolation. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says this: two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So we come back to the original question of, what's the point of small groups? It's a great place for us to have teaching and for us to have interaction over the Bible and say, what does this mean and what are we going to do about it? It's also a great place to develop fellowship. It's a great place for those deep, purposeful relationships to be invested in, to be fostered. Oh, it's not the only place. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. It's not the only place, but it is a great place. If you're interested in building deep fellowship with other Christians, small group is a great, great place to do that. The next thing they were talking about was being devoted in breaking bread. So just again, just to cover that quickly, how do we break bread together in our context? Well, we sometimes will do it on a Sunday morning. You could argue maybe not often enough. But how did they do it in the example we've looked at? They did it in their homes. There's different settings that we would look to do it. We'd do it on a Sunday morning, on a prayer meeting, the Friday morning prayer meeting that we had this week, and facilitated it, and we did bread and wine together. It was a great moment for us at the prayer meeting to do bread and wine together. Just encourage you, do it in your small groups, do it as friends and family. Have communion together in your homes. It's a really great thing to do. I want to encourage you, if you're a small group leader or if you're participating in a small group, just ask yourself the question, have a little think. When was the last time we broke bread as a small group together? I mean, I lead a couple of small groups, and we haven't done it much lately, so this is a good reminder for me. So there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, amen. But when was the last time in a small group you spent time over communion together and really gave that time? Really gave that time. And I know the times I have done that in small group, how beautiful it has been. And again, we come back to the whole fellowship thing. It's great for fellowship to break bread in our homes together. So I want to encourage you guys, as you set off on this new season of small grouping together, plan that in, be intentional, do it regularly. Break bread together in your small groups. It's awesome. It's a good thing to do. It's really interesting when we just consider the passage, and it said they broke bread together in their homes and they ate together. And this really talks about it being relational, not ritualistic. Breaking bread together at the birth of the church was not ritualistic, it was relational. Nudge the person next to you, say, it was relational, not ritualistic. Nudge, nudge, very good, very good. And finally, they were devoted in prayer. And as I was considering this, the question that came to my mind is, can you have real fellowship together if there's an absence of communal prayer? Just want you to ponder on that. When we consider the things I've brought to our attention about what fellowship is, can you have genuine Christian fellowship if there's an absence of communal prayer? Just one to ponder on and consider. Ian mentioned about our prayer room that we had, and it was so good. I just so enjoyed that time of prayer together. Just a few quick highlights from me. So at 4 a.m, with my wife Heather and with Helen Rowland, we met in the prayer room. We had a great time just being in God's presence, just praying. And it was just really cool as we were praying. Heather prayed out and she was just saying how energized she felt at 4 a.m. Do you know what I mean? Coming together and praying. I felt the same. I think Helen, you were the same as well. We felt energized being together. And it was a lovely connecting moment as well for us. You know, it was a good fellowship moment, that time of prayer together. Two other quick highlights. We had one of the prayer meetings where we had the guys from Pakistan zoomed in. They gave us a little update. Do you know, it's so humbling when people from the persecuted church pray a blessing on us. Oh my goodness, it's so humbling. And relationship building. And then it was so encouraging as well, you know, many people then getting up and praying for these guys they've never met on the other side of the world, praying a protection on them, praying a blessing on them. It was a great moment, real highlight for me from the prayer. Then the final, and there are many more, but just one more. And the first prayer meeting we had, my mum and dad came there with us today, visiting. It's good to have you with us, mum and dad. And they serve heavy at St. Mary's. St. Mary's, as we know, they lost the dear Vicar Tim recently. And these guys have just been, they're very close with Tim, very involved in the leadership there. And it was, I just want to honour mum and dad just for being great parents, because they are awesome. Absolutely awesome. I'm a very blessed person to have had a very secure upbringing. Can you tell? You can. Down to them. So I just want to honour mum and dad. But just, it was a real beautiful moment to have them with us and for us to pray for them, but to pray for St. Mary's as well. And this moment, you know, fellowship extends beyond just this local church, fellowshipping with other Christians. And that was a good thing for us. It's good for us to pray for other churches. Keep praying for St. Mary's and everything they're going through. It's good for us to pray with other people. That was a good moment. So as you can see, like, prayer is a good thing to do. We had a great time in this prayer weekend, and we expect more. Pray in your small groups. Pray in your small groups. Emmanuel did an amazing preach for us last week. If you didn't hear Emmanuel's preach last week, go listen to it. It will bless you. It will encourage you. It will spur you on in your prayer life. It was excellent. You blessed us so much. Thank you, brother, last week for what you brought. It was so good. So good. Just a final point on prayer. Ian mentioned Simon Holly, who's coming next week. One of the things I've heard him say that I found immensely helpful when talking about, do you want an extraordinary prayer life? And I thought, oh yeah, I quite like an extraordinary prayer life. Do I have one? Well, I'm not sure I could claim to have an extraordinary prayer life. But the thing that he says that's super helpful is, like, to have an extraordinary prayer life, what you do is you take your ordinary prayer life and add something extra. It's simple. So whatever you're doing in your prayer life at the moment, keep doing that, just add one more thing extra to it, and it becomes extraordinary. And then when that's the consolidated new norm, and that's ordinary, add something extra. Go prayer walking, get up a little bit earlier, come to the prayer meeting on a Sunday morning before the meeting. Make prayer more of a priority. Pray in your small groups. Don't just talk about praying. Don't just do the small group thing where we all, okay, this is going on, and we spend more time talking about it than doing it. Maybe, sometimes that can happen. Guys, pray in your small groups. This is what the early church did. The four things they devoted themselves to: teaching, they devote themselves to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayer. Just think this is such a helpful bit of scripture for us to look at as we consider small groups and what's the point. Is this what you want? Is this what you'd like to have? Yes. Great. I'm going to try over this side now. Is this some of the stuff I've just said? Is this some of the stuff you would like? Yes. Okay. So you've all fallen into the obvious trap. Which small group are you going to sign up to then? Because our small groups are now open for business. I'm going to very quickly give you some headlines on the small groups that are available for you to sign up to. I want to strongly urge you, sign up for a small group. You can do it very easily. You go online, you go to our website, you go to small groups, you look through all the small groups I'm about to rattle through very quickly, you select a small group, you sign up for a small group, you go to the small group. At the end of the service, we're going to have all the small group leaders going to come over to this corner here. So as I rattle through very quickly, if you're thinking, oh, that sounds interesting, maybe I'll talk to the small group leader about it. Come find them, talk to them about it. Okay, so here we go. Are you ready for a very quick? So on a Monday, we have something every day. On a Monday, we have Connect. They meet at 10 o'clock here. They open the Bible together. They encourage each other. They have coffee together. It's a great place to come and be encouraged. Go see any of the ladies about that. Loads on a Tuesday. Tuesday's super busy. Okay. Early in the day, we have a daytime Bible study group. Jack and Dorothy over here, they lead that group. If you're available, Tuesdays at 2, they meet in the town centre. They go through the small group notes, as I've described already. You want to find out more, go speak to Jack and Dorothy. They'd love to talk to you and encourage you. Anchored, 7:30 here on a Tuesday night. That is run by my wonderful wife, Heather. She is for ladies. They go through the small group notes as well, very relational, lots of good biblical application, great group to be part of. She's had to dash off now. Speak to Helen. Helen will be over here and can give you information about Anchored. If you're a lady, yes, it is discrimination, and we embrace it. If you're a lady and you want to speak about that, speak to Helen. Deeper Roots, this is excellent. Paul and Debbie, give us a wave over here. These guys run a brilliant small group that is based online. So you want an online option, Tuesday nights. They're going through the book of Ezekiel at the moment. So they're doing a Bible study going through that. If that interests you, speak to those guys. What's next? Faith and relationship. Okay, 7 o'clock, that meets here. So again, these guys go through our small group notes. 7 o'clock, and Valerie is here. Give us a wave, Valerie. Valerie is involved in leading that small group. You can speak to her about that one. Freedom in Christ, awesome. So I'll be leading Freedom in Christ with the pastoral team. Identity in Christ, knowing your identity and the freedom that comes with that, absolutely brilliant. If you've never done it, do it. If you have done it, do it. We're going to have a great time. Heart of Worship, every fortnight, Tuesday here. Kenny and Taiwo, give us a wave at the back there. So Heart of Worship, looking at just being a people of worship. They're looking at different characters in the Bible and how they worship their way through all situations. And they spend time worshiping together. Speak to those guys about Heart of Worship. Pray Connect, outstanding small group. Again, they do the small group notes. Really good thing to do. I think they're still meeting in the Offords. I'm looking around for people to shake. Yes, they're still meeting out in the Offords. Brilliant small group, great community of people doing all the stuff that I've just spoken about. So you want that stuff. Tim and Bethan are part of that small group. That's run by Tim and Caroline, who aren't here this morning. So I'm going to put you guys on the spot. If you want to speak about that small group, go speak to Tim and Bethan. And they, can you be here at the end to help us? Thank you so much. Have I done all those ones? Did I miss any of them? No. Okay, next. Right, Wednesday, new group, Crazy Love. So this is Kathy and Steve over here. Give us a wave, guys. So Crazy Love is a book that's been written by Francis Chan. A really good discipleship resource. So if you're interested in doing this, working your way through it, chapter of the book, 1 week at a time, come speak to these guys. They would love to talk to you about that group. And we just want to thank them for stepping up as new small group leaders and offering this option to us. It's going to be a good group. If you're interested, please go speak to them about that. That'd be good. Bible group. Oh, another new group. Sam, where's Sam? Give us a wave. Hey, Sam. So Sam is going to be leading. There's already been a few people signed up to this, quite a lot of interest about it. They're going to be going through the book of Matthew. It's going to be a Bible study-based group meeting here from 7 o'clock. It's going to be a great time of fellowship, enjoying time together, looking through the book of Matthew, literally going through it a bit at a time and going through the whole book. They'll probably take them about 20 years. They're going to have a great time. Maranatha Mamas. So that is younger mums connecting together, connecting via WhatsApp and being very supportive of each other and looking at arranging times to meet and have fellowship and encourage each other in being young moms. Thursdays, there's no actual small groups, but there is because that's our huge youth program. So loads of youth stuff happening on Thursday. Next, please. Friday. So Friday morning. Every Friday morning here at 9 o'clock, there's a Bible study. You want to come to the Bible study? We have a great time on a Friday morning. 9 o'clock, coffee and Bible. We spent about a year and a half going through the book of Mark. We were so blessed in doing that. We're now into the book, start of the book of Acts. We are loving it. Everyone is welcome. Come on a Friday morning, 9 o'clock, if you want a Bible study and a coffee and some fellowship. We're going to have good, we have a good time. That's Friday. Saturday, Art with a Heart, every other week. You don't have to be an expert artist to come to this. This is a great place to come on a Saturday morning and to express worship creatively. The creativity is the finished product of the artwork is not the point. The point is gathering for fellowship, encouraging of each other, and being inspired and to express yourself creatively. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Come, it's a great environment. It's a really seeker-friendly thing as well. There's non-church people who come along to that. They have a great time. It's good community and expressing our worship through art. It's a great thing to do. And then Alpha is coming. It will be running on Sunday nights. That's not happening to the end of March. We'll give you more information about Alpha. I'm not going to do that now, but that is coming. So all I'd say on that is, please pray, who are you going to invite to Alpha? Who are you going to signpost to Alpha? But that is going to be here from the end of March on a Sundays. I said that quickly. I hope that all landed and has piqued your interest enough. There are a lot of options to opt into. And so I really want to encourage you, where are you going to opt in? Where are you going to get that deep fellowship? Where are you going to build that sense of community? Where can you worship together with others and do all that stuff that I've just spoken about? So what I would love us to do now, if you're able to stand, would you just stand? I'm going to pray for us. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, Lord God, that we just build our lives on. Thank you, Jesus, that we can trust you in all things. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of church family. Lord, for the gift of your word that we can study and teach together, Lord God. And thank you for the gift of fellowship, how precious that is. Thank you for the awesome reminder that breaking bread is to us of your sacrifice for us. How precious that is, that as we seek to love on you, Lord God, and remember your sacrifice, the gift of breaking bread, what a gift that is. And we thank you for the gift of prayer, of speaking with you, Jesus, in the quiet place and communally together. And thank you how all these things come together to lift your name on high and draw us together. Lord, all these layers that come together to do those things, to lift your name on high and to encourage each other. So Lord God, would you do that, Lord? We want to be joined more and more to you on our walk with you, to have you more and more at the center of our lives. Thank you, Jesus. And would you bind us together, Lord, as that old song says, as with cords that cannot be broken. All for your glory, we pray. Amen.